Good morning, church. It's good to be here. Just a comment about the Defending the Bible session that we're going to have. Samuel Neeson is someone that Pastor Tim connected, and we actually booked his time earlier of the year to spend a weekend with us, and we have asked him, Pastor Eugene and I, we met up with him, and we have asked him to do a session for us to just kind of strengthen our trust in the Bible. Samuel Neeson, if you were to search him, profile, he is apologetics, and he is already debating in the global stage. And I know that we will be tremendously equipped and be inspired by his session over that weekend, all right? So that's just a bit of comment. Now, we are on this Finding Rest series. I hope that you have been enjoying this series as much as I am. Right? Some people ask me, oh, is the rest series finished? Can we move on to the next series? Okay, so clearly the person need rest. But more than that, rest is not just something that we know, but it's something that we want all of us to be able to lean into God this season, because this is a series that is so relevant to in our world today, because the world is just busy, busy, busy. The world is just pressure, it's just deadlines, it's just so many things for us to do. And we kind of speak about how that we are more knowledgeable than ever today. We are more technologically connected than ever today. We are more, in terms of lifestyle, the more comfortable than ever today. But yet, our soul is more restless than ever. And we kind of established that biblical true rest is found in the presence, is found in the dwelling of God. It's about coming to the person of Jesus Christ. And we kind of established that over the past couple of weeks. And I want to start today's message by quoting St. Augustine, who wrote his biography with this opening statement. He says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts is restless until it finds rest in you." And this series, we have kind of journeyed, we have spoke about how rest is a rhythm, how God has ordained, blessed rest as part of the rhythm of rest and work. Rest and work. And we have spoke about how rest as a refuge. Last week, Pastor Neil spoke about how rest to rejoice. And today, I want to talk about what it means to rest for revelation. Rest for revelation. And this series is really speaking about a different angle, different perspective, as well as a different expression of true biblical rest. So rest for revelation. You know, when I was younger, when my kids were, the elder two, they were 2, 3, 4 years old, when they were still very short and they were still very naive, and I will hide myself. We will play hide and seek, and I will hide myself. And because they are at that age, 2, 3, 4 years old, they were not able to find me. I would hide myself behind the curtains, behind the door, and because of their age, unless I reveal myself to them, there is no way that they can find me. But today, of course, they can, okay? But at the age, unless I reveal myself to them, there is no way they can find me. So over time, after 5 minutes, after 8 minutes, I will kind of reveal myself to them. I will kind of stick a foot out under the curtain so that they could at least see my foot and get a clue. Or I would be hiding with my back exposed, revealing to them where I am. Or sometimes when they were just searching in different rooms, I would just fully reveal myself and I would come up and sit at the sofa. And then when they come out, I say, ta-da, I reveal myself to them. In the same way, for us and God, there is no way that we can know God, or there's no way that we can know about God unless God reveals himself to us. And that's the gulf, that's the gap between us and God. But we have a God that wants to reveal himself to us. You know, God is not a God that wants to hide from us forever, but God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to be with us. All throughout Scripture, it is clear that he wants to be with us, and God has indeed revealed himself to us. And God is continuously, he is constantly revealing himself to us. But sitting here, we may go, God, man. We may say, where God? Okay, because oftentimes we missed it. Oftentimes, because we live in a world that is so busy, so distracted, we are so blinded that we miss the revelation of God Himself around us, in us. And that's the fact, because we are so busy. I think COVID was, it's for example, sometimes we slow down in life and we begin to realize, we begin to notice things that we have never noticed before if we are rushing. For example, if we slow down, we will begin to notice our breathing. Can you notice your breathing? Let's breathe in. Breathe out. Okay, we notice it because we slowed down. But when we are in the go, when we are just going from places to places, we don't realize it. COVID is one example as well. COVID just kind of stripped away everything. Everything slowed down. And we begin to realize and notice things that were there, but we have never noticed before. We begin to notice our neighbors. And we begin to get to know them. And they have always been there for years. But we begin to know them. Or some of us begin to notice that, oh, my toddler have teeth already. And our wives will tell you, yeah, it's been 6 months. Or we begin to notice, oh, I didn't know my daughter can draw so well. Right? I didn't know this, and I didn't know our house has this and that. Because why? Because we have not slowed down. We have not take time, because we missed it. We are too busy, too blinded, too distracted. So today, as we look at rest as a revelation, we're going to look at Psalm 19. It is a psalm of David written to a chief musician. Okay, so David, we know that David was a worshiper. And this Psalm 19 is very unique because it has been included throughout history in liturgies. You're talking about Jewish temple, you're speaking about Catholic Church, Anglican churches, Eastern Orthodox, Protestant churches. These psalms have been regularly included in liturgies. This psalm has also been adapted into music. People like Johann Sebastian Bach, Beethoven, these are classic musicians who included these psalms in their music. Charles Spurgeon said, these psalms is a study of God's two great books, nature and scripture. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, he wrote Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote books like Mere Christianity. A great writer and poet himself described Psalms 19 as, he says, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalms and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. Wow. What a high praise for Psalms 19. And this is the Psalms that we're going to read, joining millions and millions of people who has recited, memorized, sung these Psalms over thousands of years. And we're going to read these Psalms together. I want to invite all of us to stand to our feet in reverence of reading of Psalms 19. And I want us, we're just going to read verse 1 to 6. And this is the ESV version. And I want us to read it out loud so that we can hear the speaking and the preaching of the word. Okay? 1, 2, go. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim His handiwork. Day to day pour out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor there are words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man run its course with joy. It is rising from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You may be seated. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that time and time again, You want to reveal Yourself. You want to reveal Your heart and Your thoughts to us. God, I pray that Your word may go forth and accomplish its purpose. Now, if I were to go back to verse 1, so it is a style of Hebrew poet to kind of repeat the same message, but in using different words to describe. So verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Say the word glory. So it speaks about the glory of God. And it says, and the sky, which is explaining the same thing, but using different words. It says, the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Say the word handiwork. When was the last time that you had a chance to look up at night to the stars and begin to admire God's glory. I know today maybe there's pollution, maybe it's rain, but some of us, during certain nights when it's clear, when was the last time we look at the stars and we look at the sun and we go, wow, the glory of God in creation, the skies reveals His handiwork. You know, I had a chance to visit an international school two weekends ago, and they were bringing us from class to class, different age group of kids, and showing their handiwork, their artwork, their craftwork. And as the age grows older, we begin to see, wow, this is so beautiful. This is so nice. And they will, right there, the handiwork will have the name of the student and their age. Each handiwork tells of their artist or their creator. In the same way, when David wrote this, he says, when he looked at the stars and the skies and the heavens, it reflects the creator. It reflects the artist. It reflects God. There is a famous astronomer by the name of Angelo Sacchi in the 1800s. Astronomer, look at the stars. And he said this, from contemplating the heavens to God, there is only a short distance. Okay? Which means that when you look at the heavens, naturally, you will think and you will reflect. You will reflect God. Paul says it this way. Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen and being understood for what He has made, so that we are without excuse. So when we look at the stars, so these are some pictures that I took from the internet of the skies and the stars. Billions of them in the skies. Beautiful light. And it makes us go, wow. Right down there in the sunrise, that's Mount Kinabalu. Okay, National Day, Mark. So we must choose. Mount Kinabalu. Every time when you climb that Mount Kinabalu, you want to catch the sunrise, right? So when you catch the sunrise, I heard people say they can just go, wow. And that's sunset. And that's Penang. I know some of you Penang don't believe it, but it's true. Okay. How many guys from Penang? That's sunset in the Penang beach. It makes us go, wow. So David, when he wrote about the psalm, he spoke about the sun, right? He spoke about the sunrise. He spoke about the sunset. So the first thing is that the skies reveals God's glory. The skies reveal God's glory. That's nature. Creation is one way. It's what we call a general revelation. It's one way how God revealed Himself to us. But nature alone does not fully communicate God's heart. It does not fully communicate God's thought, His message. And therefore, in verse 7, David kind of just switched gear. And David kind of just speak about scriptures. He says, David wrote, from nature, from the skies, he went to scripture. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Say the word perfect. Reviving the soul. Another version says, converting the soul. Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I love how the author contrasts or describes the scripture, the law, and using different words to describe the word of God. The law, the script, the precepts, the commandment, the testimony, and the different nature of the word of God. Perfect, sure, right, pure. And he continues on, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. You know, the Word of God is not just instruction, but it is also warning. So besides the skies revealing God's glory, the Scriptures reveal God's goodness. The Scripture reveals God's goodness. And sometimes we say, Pastor, I don't know what God is doing in my life. I don't know what God is speaking. Have you been reading His Word? Because this is specific revelation that He has given to us. So you have the general revelation, and then you have the specific revelation through Scripture. And this summarizes what does it does, what does scripture does to us. It is perfect. You know, in this world, nothing is perfect, but I am comforted that the law of God is perfect. He said it revived the soul. And the word revive means bring new life. Wow. The word of God has the power to bring new life, to bring a refreshment, to bring a reviving of that soul. Restoration, healing. That's the power of the word of God. Hebrews 4, it says the word of God is living and active. Actively working in your life and in my life. You know, this season has not been easy for a lot of us. But the word of God constantly revive my soul. The word of God constantly bring new life to my soul, bringing courage to my soul. The word of God is sure. The word sure here is reliable. It is certain. We live in a world that is so uncertain, right? We walk, a sinkhole can happen. Flash flood can happen overnight or over an hour. Nothing is certain, but it says the word of God is sure. Making us wise, making the simple wise. You know, sometimes we can be so complex, but when we keep the word of God, it makes us wise. It is right. It is morally right. It is practically right. Rejoicing our hearts. It is pure, enlightening our vision. You know, sometimes in this world, we live in a world that is crooked, that is twisted, that is corrupted, that has an evil way of seeing different things. I remember this is potentially 7-8 years ago. I was speaking to a working adult. He's a fairly new Christian, not that new, maybe 1 year plus. And I found out that he is working as an advocate for online gambling. And I was chatting with him and he was telling me that it is okay. Because he said they don't force people. Right? They give people a choice whether they want to enroll and join an online gambling. And I was trying to reason with him and he was giving me different perspective because our perspective is not pure. And 6 months, 9 months down the road, as he continued to come and he comes up to me one day, he said, Pastor, I think it's not really right. I said, you think? No, I'm just kidding. I said, yeah, you know, I think he says, more and more, God is convicting me. Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I need time. I've been doing this for many years. I need time to transit out to a different thing because I don't know what else to do. I've been doing this for many years. And we prayed, and I think over the 6 months, he was able to get out of it. He was able to find a new line of work, and he will begin to be advocate, and he will be telling me, Pastor, it's really bad. The people that is addicted to online gambling, it's so bad. Why? Because our perspective of life can be twisted, can be crooked, but you know what? The Word of God brings clarity. It brings purity on how we view things. The Word of God is clean. Enduring forever, it warns us. It warns us. I remember years ago, you know, cars, they have different warning lights, right? And some of us, we are very sensitive when it comes to car warning lights because we love our cars. And whenever there is a light come on, we immediately bring it to check. I'm not a car person, but there was one time the warning light came on and I would just continue to drive. And I thought to myself, the car can still drive, ma. It still takes me from point A to point B. Even though the warning light is there, something to do with my brakes, it's still working. And after a couple of weeks, whenever I brake, there is the sound. And I begin to say, okay, let me bring it to check. And when I brought my car to the mechanic, and he was sharing with me that your brake, the drum, the pad has fully exhausted and it has damaged your rim. Yes, damage that because the pad, the cushion is no longer there. So I thought to myself, I've ignored the warning. What could have been an easy fix, a cheap and easy fix, becomes a very expensive and a big fix in life. It cost me more money. So back to us. You know, it may have cost me more money in terms of fixing that, but what are the warnings in life that we choose to ignore? The Bible warns us about greed in our life. The Bible warns us about lust in our life. The Bible warns us about pride. The Bible warns us about so many different things, self-righteousness and insecurity. And He warns us of so many different things. But sometimes we are more concerned about the warning lights in our car than the warnings in the Word of God. And some of these warnings, it takes more than just a bit of money. It costs us more than what we can imagine if we choose to ignore the warnings of the Word of God. It is true and righteous. And David says, great reward in obeying them. Great reward in keeping the Word of God. And David wrote, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, speaking about the Word of God, even much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey. You know, King David was a very, very wealthy man. But he wasn't known for his wealth. He was known for his heart for God. His son Solomon was known for his wealth, but David was a very, very wealthy man. But because he desired the Word of God, the presence of God, more than gold, more than honey, and that's why today his legacy is a man after God's heart. The question is, do we desire the Word of God? Do we desire the revelation through the Word of God? And that's why today it's really about rest so that we can receive and know the revelation of God, not just through nature, but also through the Word of God. And when we look at the Word of God, we go, wow. And as we read the Word of God, David began to realize something. The Word of God began to speak to him. The Word of God began to reflect his own soul. And he goes from wow to woe. W-O-E. And he looks into his soul and realizes, yuck. There's so much ugly things going on in my soul, in my heart. David says, who can discern his error? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. So David was pleading to God, God, would you keep me blameless? Would you keep me innocent? Keep me away from presumptuous sins. You know what presumptuous sins are? It is that pride. It is that entitlement. It is that sin that we think that we are not, we are exempted from the working of God. It is self-righteousness, maybe self-pride, that we think that we won't fall. We think that that is presumptuous sins. Overconfident. So David knew that. And David can only, remember David wrote this pre-Jesus. David had the same nature. And potentially David only have the first five books of the Old Testament. He has a couple of Psalms. He has potentially the book of Job. He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have some of the prophets' books that we have today. But yet, he so desired the Scripture. And he didn't have the Savior that we have today. He can only plead with God. God, would you make my heart, make me acceptable in your sight? So the Scriptures reveals God's goodness. And thirdly, today as we stand in this part of history, we have that privilege to look back and we have the privilege to see the working of our Savior and that the Word of God became flesh, like what John mentioned, right? He says, the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. And verse 14, it says, the Word become flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's the word again, dwelling, being with us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of what? Full of what? Grace and full of truth. The third way that God revealed himself, it is through Jesus Christ. The Savior reveals God's grace. But again, we often missed it. Because we are too busy, too blinded, too distracted. But when we learn to rest, we reflect on creation, we reflect on Scriptures, and when we rest today, we are able to have the intimate relationship with the Savior, revealing the grace of God in our soul. What David did not have, David can only plead and David can only pray. David looked at his own life. He realized his errors. He realized his faults. He realized his sins. He can only plead with God. But today we have, standing in this part of history, we have the assurance because the Savior revealing God's grace in our soul, in our soul. You see, when we rest, we begin to know God's revelation for us. You know, when you have God's revelation in your life, something is very different. Something is very different. The way you approach life is different. The way you respond to crisis and challenges in life is different. Challenges is real, right? We live in a world whereby there is health challenges, there are work challenges, there are relational family challenges, parenting challenges. Work itself is a whole different world of challenges. Financial challenges, spiritual crisis. But when we learn, that's why this series, we take 5 weeks to plow, to just begin to get our soul to be rested and engage with God, with the Spirit. And that's why we put devotional into the life group material. If you notice that there is a QR code for a 40 days devotional on rest that you can do. That's why we have ministry session after this, after the message, this series. Because we want to plow, to allow our soul to know, God, I need you. Would you speak to me? Would you speak to me? Just like David. David ends that beautiful psalm with this prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my Redeemer. You know, sometimes we go through life, we can be so numb to the things of God. We know God in our mind. We serve God. But our spirit and our soul become so numb, so hardened, that we missed it all together. And we're going to worship. And as we worship, I want to invite us to have the same desire as David. To pray this. It says, let the words, as we sing, as we pray, as we lift up hands, would you do a work in my heart today? Would you bring a softness? Would you bring a clarity in my soul? I want to invite us to stand and to your feet, and let me prepare us to worship. Let me just pray for us. I want to invite us to maybe close our eyes and just allow God to shine a light into our soul. You know, sometimes in life we know how to siam. We know how to escape. We know how to, when it's time to talk about that conversation, the difficult conversation, we change topic. Like we will do something else, we will fidget with something else, we will play with our phone. But I want us to, as we close our eyes, to allow God to shine a light into our soul. Just like David, when David worshiped God, he saw his soul. He saw the ugliness. He saw the insecurity. He saw the selfishness. He saw the pride. And David had the fear of God to say, God, please take all this away from me. And today, even as we worship, I want us to bring to surface the depths, the things in our soul and in our hearts that potentially only we and God knows. Would you surface it to God and say, God, would you deal with my insecurity? Would you deal with my pride? Would you deal with my greed? Would you deal with my selfishness? Would you deal with my indifference? God, I find that this season I do not really care about the things of God. Would you do a work in me? Would you bring the fear and the love of God into my soul today? We're going to worship. The song that we're going to sing is asking God to open the eyes of our heart. And I want us to sing, to worship. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us
And we're going to pray. We're going to spend time to worship and to pray. Hallelujah. Church, would you just raise your hands as we sing? As we join with the angels, just cry out, holy, holy, holy. You, Jesus. God, we thank you, oh God. Let's give God a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the work that you are doing in us and through us, oh God. We commit the word of the Lord as we go back forth, oh God, Lord, as we disperse, God, Lord. May we go with the presence and the power of the Lord to ever, to wherever that we need to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, God bless you. See you guys next week. Those who need prayer, you can come forward. The prayer ministers will continue to pray with you. All right, bless you.